to have group young people partaking. It's a blessing. It's a real blessing. It's good to be here. I just want to greet everyone. Just want to say that it's always special to be here. We haven't been here for 2 years. You know why?
No.
The devil. You know, he's a smart guy. He has an agenda, talking about the devil. But what he doesn't know, it's the Lord that is leading his agenda. Because his agenda is only done because God allowed him to do it. And it is for us to be greater than his agenda, to know that God is guiding us through it all. And he is giving us wisdom. He's giving us grace. He's giving us an understanding. Nothing happened in vain. You know, and there's one thing we want to be, it's we want to be certain of God. We want to be certain that he is with us. He is, you know, he never forsake us. No, he never forget about us. He loves us. He cares about us. I'm here tonight. I don't know exactly what I'm going to preach. I'd like to speak about the certainty of God, to be certain of God. But I'd like to give you testimony, little things that will help you to keep going on, just to encourage you. Amen. And that's the purpose of the preaching. You know, you're going to have a teacher that will come and just so orderly, just bring you things in such a way. But the evangelist, he just goes and just give it all. And I just want to encourage you. God is gracious.
Amen.
He knows everything. He knows exactly your needs. And I prayed that I could just say something that will encourage somebody here. When I preach, I like young people, an older one, to understand and to keep something and to go home with something that will help them to keep going on, to keep pressing on. Because we are in a time where everything is so free for all. No more gender. They don't know if they are girls or boys. They don't know if they're male or female. It's just sick. It is so clear. When my son was born, I knew what he was. It was clear. He was not a girl. You know, and he tried to say he's a he, she, or he, d, or A, B, C, D, E, F. It's just insanity. It's how the devil would like to take our identity from people.
Amen.
And just make them be whatsoever it could be. That's the devil. Same thing with the mask. You know, we lost all the smile of people. We lost all that connection. You know, you go. I remember I was in Montreal and I went in the metro. And I just had been saved. And I was watching people. I was smiling and people thought, he's crazy. Yeah. They're not used to smile. They thought, he's insane. He's smiling. They just weren't comfortable with my smile. I was just wanting to tell them, say, God is good. I just wanted to tell them. I was just so happy. I'm a happy guy anyway. And I don't worry. My wife can tell you. Whatsoever happened, I just tell her, no, don't worry. It's going to be okay. I do have that certainty in my heart that no matter what happened, new ways, it's going to be okay. Don't worry. And she's a worrier. A warrior and a worrier. But she's a worry. And she worried. And I said, don't, sweetheart, don't. And you know what? It's okay. God puts two people together to complete one another. And she's a beautiful girl. She's been a blessing to me, believe me. God has been so gracious. I'll give you a little testimony that can be a little longer. But anyway, we were coming back. You know, we went to Florida in the best time where there was no restriction there. And then Quebec, you know, they just attach you by the neck. You cannot do anything. And they put almost something on your foot to follow you. But anyway, I just decided to go to Florida with Cynthia. And we could not go with our car because it was closed. The border was close. And we took the plane. They were allowing us to go by plane and without the vaccine at the time. And we went. Once over there, I was wondering, and she was wondering, what car are we going to use? I said, don't worry. God's going to work. He's going to provide. We got there and a brother just said, hey, I have an old Jalapido, or what do you call that? Jalapido, anyway, something like that. It was a whole Cherokee, and I love Cherokee. I had 10 of them in my life, I think, 8 or 10. I just love Cherokee. But that one didn't have a horn, didn't have many things it didn't have. But anyway, it just bring me from A to B, and you know, I didn't have to rent a car. And I felt like God was blessing us, really blessing us. And we stayed there with being blessed, not having those restrictions. And when we came back, Cynthia had to go back to British Columbia to be with her mom because she had a knee replacement. And she had to be there. She wanted to be there. And then we had to come back to Quebec. But we thought, if we come back by car or by plane, they're going to put us in a hotel. They call it the COVID hotel. And it would cost about almost $6,000-$7,000, something like that. It was insanity. It was crazy. And you know, they put you in a hotel. They charge you for it. And why do they charge you to have somebody to check that you may not come out of your hotel? It's insanity. Sure. And I told Cynthia, I said, we have to come back with a car. We're going to buy a car. And there was a guy in the park just before we left said, hey, I have a Honda CRV and I'd like to sell it, but no, transmission is gone. I said, I'm interested. I don't know why I was interested, but I thought, I'm interested. And I said, I'm interested. I would like to look at it. And I thought at first it might be only a ignition coil. And I thought, you know, I know how to repair that. And I even told him, I said, I think it's an ignition coil. I might repair it for you and you can keep it. And I was honest to him. I said, but in my mind, I thought it was no big deal. But he sold it to me for $2,000 and I went to get a check after, and the guy at the transmission place said $5,000 to get it repaired. But I said, thank you, Lord. And I told Cynthia, everything's going to be okay. And at first I thought I'd maybe better sell it for junkyard. But I said, no, the Lord's going to be good. He's going to allow us to go back home with it. And I had learned just as I was going, it was slipping between the second and third. And I realized that if I just go one, two, and I let it go on the second and put it down on it was just entering the third. And after that, you know, we're okay for as long as it was a highway, everything was okay. And we just got to Connecticut, believe it or not. We did get there at my son's place. And we knew we need a COVID test. But the guy that sold me the car, he had wrote the paper, you know, the, what do you call that, the title, for me to do, or to get the transfer in New York, because the car was plated in New York, but the guy did the title wrong, and that was a mess in its way, but like I said, yeah, everything will be okay. Everything would be okay. And actually, we got to Connecticut and got my test for COVID, because we had to take a test before entering Canada. And then we went to Albany to do the transfer, had the Albany place where the car, what you call that, the transfer, where you do the transfer? How do you say that? DMV. Thank you. Thank you. You got a car not long ago, huh? Anyway, We did the test. We went to Albany, New York. And when I got to Albany, New York, I got there with the title, I'm going to get my paper. And the guy, which he was very, he didn't know if he was a he or a she. And he looked at my paper and said, I cannot do nothing for you. I said, what do you mean? He said, you made a mistake here. You should have not signed this. It should have, nothing can be done. I said, sir, please, I have to get back home. My wife has to quarantine for 14 days, and she has to take the plane. She already has. You cannot do nothing, sir. Look, it's wrong, and it's voided. And he went to get his manager, and manager looked at me and said, no, cannot do nothing, sir, nothing. No. I said, ma'am, understand. And I asked her about 6-7 times. We cannot do nothing. After a while, she said, do you understand English? I said, no. I said, yes, I do, ma'am. I stayed really polite. And I said, and in my heart, I was praying. And I just left. And I got to the car. And Cynthia, she saw me. And she realized, oh, boy, something is wrong. He didn't get the paper. And she was crying. And I got in the car. And I told her, I said, it didn't work. And she prayed. And she said, Lord, you opened the Red Sea for the Abra children. You can do something for me, for us. And when she prayed that, it just struck my heart. I went back inside. I don't understand English. I went back inside, and the manager was not with that guy, and she was behind the desk of the entry. There was a girl there and at the reception, and she was behind. And I said, "Ma'am, I'd like to talk with you." "You again?" "Yes, yes, ma'am." I said, "Understand, my wife has to be back to quarantine, and she has to go. Her mom needs her help in British Columbia." She looked at me. She said, "Give me your paper." I give her my paper. I said, she said, "Your name is Trudeau?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Are you related to the Prime Minister?" I said, "Yeah, pretty far, but we are related." "Oh, I'll do something for you." The only thing Trudeau did good for me, that's what's the only thing he ever done good. I didn't even vote for him. I don't have any confidence in that man. God bless him. Anyway. But she said, "Follow me." I follow her, and the guy said, I passed by the guy that didn't know what he was. I said, "We told you." She said, "Oh, be quiet, be quiet." And she brought me to another booth, and they gave me my paper. And she said, "You'll never be able to enter Canada with that paper because your title is wrong. But I give you this and go ahead." And I told Cynthia, I said, "Everything will be okay. As long as I get there, I'll leave the car there and I'll call somebody to get me. And in the meantime, I got my result on my phone. I have COVID." I said, "Everything will..." And Cynthia was shopping. And good thing, when you get to your wife and she's shopping, say, "Sweetheart, I have COVID. I don't believe you." "Sweetheart, I have COVID. COVID." You know what? She stopped shopping. That was good. and we just start to go back. And I told her, "Everything will be fine. Everything would be fine." And we got to the border, and you know, you have to show the phone and the result, and I just had to change phone from United States to Canada, and we could not find, and I didn't really want to find my result, and I was kind of bypassing, and I got the result, and she was negative, and I was positive, and I almost felt like I'd give him her result again, but I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. And finally, I found my result. And I give it to him. I give him my phone. He look at my phone. It's like, and he just went away. And he came back with new glove. He washed his hand. And I had leprosy. I had leprosy. And I had no symptoms, nothing. I know that there's some that got really sick with it. But I had nothing. But anyway, he looked at me and said, I don't want to touch any of your paper. I said, I need to import that car. He said, "You know what? We're going to go on the honesty." It's what he said, honesty. "You go home, and in 3 weeks, when you have done your quarantine and everything, come back and we'll do the paper." Brothers and sisters, the Lord made a way for us to go all the way back home. And it was the Lord. And he didn't even want to look at my paper. I went back home. And even when I came back to 3 weeks later, when I got home, I called the guy and said, "Hey, send me the good paper because you made a mess." And he got the paper for me, and everything was okay. And you know what? I saw, and we were looking at one another, saying, we saw miracle after miracle after miracle. And she was done for her quarantine, and she was able to go to her mom. And it was like, at first they said, "Oh, you have to be 2 more weeks than me," because they said that she was with me. But we have a big house. We said, "She's going to be in one room. I will be in the other room." "Oh, okay, that's going to be okay. We are going to accept that." You know, but they're so crazy. They test her 4 times. And she was negative 4 times. They test me once. I was positive. And I asked them, "Test me again. I want to know if I'm really positive." "No, no, we don't test you again. This is..." I was a number. I was part of their numbers. And they didn't want to... But I saw the Lord, and she was able to go to see and help her mom. And just on little things that you see, and God is in control of everything. Yeah. He knows everything. He knows your every need. He knows what you go through. He knows what you need. He knows. And He's a great God. He knows everything. You know, I was reading something not long ago, and thinking about Moses. when Moses asked God, and it's, you found that in Exod 3, when he asked God, "What is your name?" And God, he said, I need to know your name as I will come back to the Hebrew children. I want to tell you, they will ask me, what is the name of God? And we know he said, I am who I am. I am the I am. And to me, he is the great provider. He is the God of the present. He is here right now. He is among us. He is with us. And if you read in the original word, you see that God said, I am the I am. But he said, he gave himself a name which was YHWH. Have you ever heard of that? Yeah. And us American or Canadian, we put voil, and they put the A and an E, and it makes Yahweh. And but the rabbi, they study, and they found out that YHWH, do you know what it does? You know? Yeah. It's breathing. It's YH. WH. People not even realizing they are naming and pronouncing, and God gave himself a name that everybody, as they are born, they will give God's name the glory. They will, as they die, as they take the last breath, they're going to give God's name the glory. They will be unbeliever, they will be atheist, but they will breathe God's name all their life. And I thought, that is great. And we are blessed to know that the name of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he gave a name. He gave himself a name. And the Lord Jesus Christ came on earth and died for our sin. And he paid a price that we could not pay, that we may be free. And tonight, we are free indeed. Amen. Now, I'll ask a question. I know it's always scary when we say, raise your hand. Who is perfect here? Raise your hand.
Christ.
Amen. You should all raise your hand when you realize that in Christ you are perfect. You have no sin. He looked at each and every one of us as if we had never sinned to begin with. That is what God's grace is. It's the only way that God will allow us to enter his presence. It's the only way that we'll enter within that dimension where he's waiting to meet us, to have fellowship with us. That's the secret place. He wants us to enter there to fellowship with him, to love him, to adore him, to exalt him. And he's waiting for us to understand that all has been done. When he said, it is finished, it was finished. Perfectly finished. Amen. He knew exactly what he was talking about. We know that Jesus went there as a man. He went all the way. When he was at Gethsemane, he had a choice, and he knew what he was to do. God knew everything. He came into his theophany. He didn't bypass his theophany as we did. But he came in this theophany, and he knew he had to go all the way. But he had to decide as a man. As a man. Because God left him. Because God had nothing to do with sin. He let him go there as a man. And he had to deal with that sin of each and every one of us. As a man, he had to go there as our parent, kinsman redeemer. I wasn't thinking parents. But anyway, God has a way to do things. But he did it. And he made a way where we are perfect tonight. We are perfect. And we can enter into that dimension. And we can enter into that fellowship with him. You can enter into the word right now. You can enjoy his presence. And he wants us to enjoy every bit of it. God is gracious. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you love him?
Amen.
Let's start now. I just enjoy it. I just enjoy his word. I enjoy his presence. By the way, thank you for your confidence. I really appreciate that. Really. You know, there's people that are very special to you, and you are a bunch that are really special to me and to Cynthia. And we really, really love you. And we when we crossed Canada and we could not come toward this way, I thought, oh, it's hard. Because we know that people here, they love us, and we love them. And it's hard, and it's what the devil wants. He wants to separate people. He wants us to not meet again. He wants us to lose sight of one another. But you know what? We don't lose sight of one another. You always will stay special, and by God's grace, you'll always have a place in our heart. Let's read the Bible, if you won't mind. We're going to stand. We're going to read the Bible together. in Genesis 17, we'll go 13 to 19. We'll start with 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yeah, I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. Sometimes people think only Sarah laughed in the back of the tent. But think of it. Abraham fell on his face and he laughed. It was funny to him. He said, yeah, you know what? And to add to the insult, look what he did. And said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And then he tell, and Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. You know, God is telling him, you're going to have a son by Sarah. And he say, oh, that won't happen. No, come on. It doesn't make sense. You know, Ishmael is okay. He's going to do it. No, God had a way to do things, and he will do it the way he said. What doesn't seem possible, right? He's the God of the impossible.
Amen.
And Abraham found it out. And he learned something. Let's finish with this here. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant. And with his seed after him. Father, first of all, we just want to praise you, worship you, and adore you, for you are great. Your ways are wonderful. And we have so much to be thankful for, Lord. We have so much to be appreciative, Lord God. And you are a provider in so many ways. And you prove yourself to us in so many ways. Father, let us just believe right now that you are with us. Your word's been true to us in so many ways. You said where two or three are gathered in thy name, you're in our midst. Lord, let us get out of the way. Please, Father, for each one of us, let us get out of the way. That your people may be blessed, that I may be blessed, that we all together may be blessed, Lord. For you are worthy of praise. You are worthy to be exalted, worthy to be adored. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I know I shared that with you many years ago or some times ago, where when I just was a young man and the Lord really got my interest in such a way where he showed me through, I would say, an angel, that there was two things I must do to meet God and to know God. It was first, when you are tired, the guy told me, I'll back up for those who never heard it. We have time. Okay. I was 17 years old, traveling by hitchhiking, and a guy picked me up and he said, do you know God? And I said, yes, I do. I thought I did, and I didn't. But he said, you don't. He said, when you really want to know God and you want to know about his love, you have two things you must do. And when you do those two things, you'll know what it is to love God and to be loved of God. I said, and he was not telling me those two things. And finally, you just repeat. When you do those two things, you'll see that what is God and what is wanting of you and what you should do for him and what it is to be loved and to love. And he was just repeating about those two things and those two things. But he was not telling me. And I thought, you better tell me. You better tell me. And just before he dropped me in Sherbrooke, because I took the lift in Bromptonville, just before he dropped me in Sherbrooke, he said, first of all, when you're sick and tired of running around, first thing you should do, find a place where you're alone and ask God, I want to know you. I want to know you. Just till he make himself known. And after that, he said, number two, he said, ask him What is your name? And that guy, I never saw him again. Never heard of him again. But I do believe it was an angel. Because that man put a seed in my heart that never left me. I kept running. I was 17. I went to Vancouver by hitchhiking. I almost got murdered. I was into all kind of stuff, that drug, alcohol, and all that stuff. But I left, and I thought when I came back in Quebec after my trip that people would have forget that my wrong I did, stealing from people, selling drugs to their kids, and all kind of stuff that, you know, you just shame of it. I'm not gonna go there. But anyway, when I came back home, I thought, you know, I've been gone for so many months, people will forget about my wrongs. They don't. You are tag. You're this, this, and that. And then I remember, and I was 19, from 17 to 19, I remember what that guy told me. When you're tired to run around, you're sick and tired of running around, and you want to know really what it is to be love of God and to know God, you do that. And I found a place where I was alone in my parents' house in the basement, and I cry and cry and cry for months. For 3 months, I cry. I said, God, I want to know you. And he did something that I really will never be able to express exactly how it happened. But I enter into, I could not move. I fell on the ground. I could not move. I felt like paralyzed. And a voice spoke to me and said, I put an X on your past. Your future, don't ever worry about your future. But he said, live your present to learn how to please me. He is the I am. He is the God of the present. But he said, live your present to learn how to please me. And the Lord was so gracious, because I remember coming out of that dimension. It happened around 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. And when I came out of that dimension, it was that night. I was for hours and hours. And it just happened like it just seems like a little time. But it was just God showing me. And I had never felt love like that. And I understood what the guy was saying. When you know what it is to be loved by God, you'll understand what it is to love him. And he showed me that I put an X on your past. I forgive all your wrong. And I remember crying after that. I said, Lord, I have done so many things. I'll use your past to help others in the future. Don't worry. Don't worry about your past. I'll take care of that. And I understood that I was, and you know what? I understood I was free. And I remember going outside, and the tree were greener. The sky was blue. Wow. Everything was beautiful. And I thought, that is something. Something happened. And I had no desire to go back into the world of sin. And God has just changed me. And then he started to give me vision about restoring things I had stolen. Go back, bring back this, bring back that. And it was not like the Catholic priest said, say three Hail Mary and so many of the other thing, and then you're okay, you know, go and sin again. And God said, no, go and sin no more. And that was, and it was restore, bring back, restore what you stole. And I stole thousands of dollars, and I brought it back. And I went to see people, said, hey, I'm so sorry. I stole you that money. And I remember I was praying, and I received a vision where I saw a hand with 10 bills of $100. And those 10 bills of $100 went right in front of my face. And I saw the face of the person I stole it. And I remember I was trying to, it was a lot of money in those days. I'm talking about 45 years ago. I said, Lord, is it you talking to me? And I knew it was him. but it was a lot of money. And I said, is it you talking to me? And it was like an emptiness. And I knew, I said, oh God, I know it's you. I'm going to go tomorrow morning, get that money out of the bank, and I'm going to restore. And as I said, it came back and just, oh Lord. And it just, his presence came back and just, it's what I want to hear. Obey me. Obey. Obey. Do what I'm showing you. I'm showing to you to do. Obey. And I another person was $3,500. Another person was motorcycle parts. Another person was, I have worked for the government. I stole a battery in a truck that I need for my car. And I called the government. I said, when I work for your company or for the government, I stole a battery of one on your truck. Are you crazy? I said, I'm not, sir. I want to restore that. I stole it. I want to restore it. I said, that's the government. There's no way to do anything about that. Okay, that's the government. But I was trying. I was just wanting to restore everything I had stolen. And one day, God showed me. Said, "There's a man I had stole his box, toolbox. I was doing motocross. You know, I was racing motocross, and I need a tool. And it was a nice box of Snap-on I stole. And one day, God showed me. Said, "Bring it back and just ask forgiveness." But that guy was violent, and I knew. I remember that he was very aggressive, and. And I just was saying, "God, I don't want to bring it back. He's going to beat me up." And I said, "I'll do it later. I'll do it later." And the Lord showed me, said, "I want you to bring it tonight." I said, "Lord, not tonight. I don't want to go there tonight. I don't want to go there tonight." A second time he told me, I said, "No, I don't want to go. I don't." And he came back and said, "I want you to go tonight." I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll go." And I went, and I just went to the porch. I left the tool, nice big box of Snap-on. I don't know if you know what it is, but anyway. I left it, and I just knock at the door. Yeah! Okay, that's it. I enter in, and his name was Jacques. I said, I came to ask you forgiveness.
For what?
I said, when I was 14, I stole all your tool.
I always thought it was you!
And you know, my heart... It just went, it's like a car that goes backward. It just, oh! I just came to ask you forgiveness for doing that. And I want to bring them back to you. And I just went outside on the porch and got the tool and bring them back in. And I said, and when I came back in, the guy was bawling, crying. And I said, what happened to you? What's going on? And he said, "You saw the 12 gauge there?" I said, "Yes, I saw it." It was a 12 gauge right in the corner. I said, and yeah, the guy, when I entered, he had a big beer between his leg. He said, "Tonight, I was to get so drunk." I said, "Why?" He said, "My wife left me with my children this morning, and I know she'll never come back. She'll never come back. And tonight, I was getting drunk, and I was shooting my head off because I have no desire to live anymore." And he said, "But I can see something that makes me want to live. I can see something real." And I realized, brothers and sisters, when God shows you something and tells you do something, and there's a purpose in it. There's nothing. Even for unbelievers, there's a purpose. I don't know what happened to this guy later on, but I know one thing. This guy said, "You give me a desire to live." And to me, to obey God can make the whole difference for a soul. It's what it is. God is in control of all things, even for those who have not become Christian yet. Because when I was not a Christian, God had his eyes over me. He was following me, protecting me. He was giving me, you know, time, because he knew I would come somewhere, somehow. Because I was in his mind before the foundation of the world. I was with him before everything that happened. Before I was thrown in time, I was with him. And he threw us all in time. And time is something that is such a bugger, because we come from eternity and we are going back to eternity. And when you understand that, you understand that you are just for a season caught in that flesh that has desire against God's word. And you don't do what you wish you would do. You do what you don't want. And God knows all that. He knows what it is to be tempted. He knows what it is to have temptation. He was tempted in all things. We have a God that understands us. And he wants us to understand that he understands us. And he wants us to be certain that he loves us. He wants us to be certain that he cares about us. That he waits for us to give him that place he deserves in our life. One day God showed me how it was important to meet his needs. And I remember preaching about that. Meet his needs. And I said, "God, you have needs?" And he showed me clearly, I need to be worshipped. Think of it. God has needs. Sometimes we are thinking about our needs. God has needs. What mean God? Mean object of worship. God wants to be worshipped. And he showed me that his need was to be, I want to be worshipped. I want to be adored. I want to be exalted. I want to have the first place in your life. So many times the first place in your life is your Facebook account, is your this and that, and that is around the media, the social media. It's you know, when you start to think about the time you put in those things, and you see the time you put in God's time, and God give him the glory, to give him the praise he deserves. Brothers and sisters, there is a devil trying to steal from you your time. He is just trying to steal from us our time. And we have to be careful to really understand that, that this is all kind of traps that are just pointed at us. Think of it, he's been 6,000 years to just perfecting his ways to make us lose sight of who is God. When it's not with the so-called pandemic, when it's not a so-called this and that, trying to just make us lose sight of who God is, make us lose sight of what God is doing right now. God is doing something right now. And all those things that are happening are for a purpose. It's to make us realize that, hey, this is my time to go. I know that I'm going to leave soon. I'm not going to stay here. I'm leaving this place. This place is not my home. There's a rapture right at the door, brothers and sisters. We are not people that think, oh, no. They talk about that, but it's not good. No, it's going to happen. And you know what? It's happening right now. If your heart is not raptured, there's something wrong with you. Your heart must be raptured before you be bodily raptured. Your heart must be in love with God before you get into that other dimension with Him, and before you get just taken away from this earth to go to meet Him in the air. Your heart must be raptured. And how can you be raptured in your heart? It's by giving Him that praises that He deserves, that by giving Him the glory that He deserves, that by giving Him the time, because we are responsible for the time. We are responsible. That is something that He has put in our hands. What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your time? You know, it goes like that. As I get older, my, the years are shorter. The years are shorter. Seems like the week are short. Cynthia and I, we just look at one another. Oh, we're already Friday. Just didn't see anything. It seemed like the week. Seemed like we don't have any time to do everything or anything. Time is flying. And if we're not aware of that, we are missing to give Him what He deserved to receive. He deserved that place that we should give Him. Without that kind of relationship, we don't have a rapture, brothers and sisters. He's looking for somebody that will have intimacy with Him. Yeah. We can only do one thing to please Him. It's to enter in. Enter in. And He's waiting patiently. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force Himself on us. He knows exactly where we're at. He knows what is our first thing in the morning. He knows what it is our last thing at night. And sometimes it's sad to say, but the best we give Him is the last. And you know, Lord, and you fall asleep. But brother and sister, we have to be careful to give Him the best. Give Him the best. He deserves the best. Amen. I look at Abraham here that had the promise. It was unconditional. And he laughed. He couldn't believe that that would happen. But God said, you will have a son. You will have a son by Sarah. You will have a son. That's a promise. Not by Agar. Not, it won't be Ishmael. If there's one thing, Ishmael was those 12 princes, all those people around Israel, they always give them a hard time. They are still there giving them a hard time. They give him heart. They just make Israel so miserable in so many ways. And we know. But God, to prove Abraham, and to prove that Abraham came to understand when he saw Sarah having that baby and saw how God was blessed him, had blessed him. He asked him, Abraham, give me that firstborn. Give me that firstborn. You know what? If you only had one son, and you had a son that you had waited for years and years, for 25 years and plus to have, and God asked you, sacrifice me that son. Give it to me. I want it. Abraham had to know within his heart that God had promised him that he would have a son, a descendant. He would have a people after him, Isaac, after Isaac. He had to believe in his heart that no matter what he does to his son, God will resurrect him. God will give him that which he promised him. He had to be sure. He had to be certain of God. And as he was going to that mountain, and he brought Isaac and those young men, and Isaac and him, they put the things on his shoulder. They say, hey, we go up there. And Isaac asks his dad, where is the sacrifice? God would provide. Brother and sister, he was certain that God would provide a sacrifice.
Amen.
God was to provide. And he is for each and every one of us.
Amen.
A provider. And no matter what we go through, brothers and sisters, no matter what we're going through, he will provide what you need. And you know, it's for us to put aside all our feelings, all our thinkings, all everything. God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. You just want to see simple faith coming with, you know what, God? You said it in your word. You promised me. And if this is, amen, this is for me. This is your word, Lord. It is nothing that short of your word. And your word says so. And I believe it. I'll take it. And I'm going to just confess it. I see my sister that goes through a lot, and I know that the Lord has been good to you, no matter what.
Amen.
I know, and I heard you went through COVID and all that, and that was hard, but He kept you. He kept you.
Right.
He kept us. I got it twice. And the first time, I didn't even... I called it a cold vid. Cold. Cold. It's not... You know, it's a bad cold. You know, I know there's something, but I know there's a lot of lie behind it, but I know there's some truth to it. But I, at the same time, I realize that no matter what we go through, God is, as long as He's not finished with us, we're not going to go. There's a time for each one of us, and when it's our time, we go. Amen. There's nothing certain here today. Look at the food we eat. I was reading about something about the OMG. OMG, like organism modified genetically, GMO. They were saying, as long as you have you don't have to write on the things you eat that it's genetically modified or organic. You don't have to write it on it. But we don't even know what we eat. You know, and to be biologic or to be biologic. It doesn't have to be 100% biologic. You know, as long as you just, it is just a bunch of lie. It's just, they try to kill you by your mouth. They try to kill you by your ears. They try to kill you by your eyes. They try to kill you by everything you have. All your senses.
Right.
He's trying. That's what the devil wants. He wants to kill us.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing. Nothing is certain in this world. Nothing. But we have something in our life, each one of us, that we can be certain. It's God. And God is making a way for us to just stand still and know that He's going to provide in everything. There's nothing that God cannot do. The only thing that stops God to do something is our unbelief. That's the only thing that will stop God to do something. It's our unbelief. And even our unbelief, God will do something to make us come to a reality of believing. He's going to bypass our unbelief, because if we are called to do something, He will bring us to that thing. How many people that at one point were unbelieving or not believing, but God brought it to pass and show them and bypass their unbelief. Because God is greater than our unbelief. And He is so loving us. He doesn't want to lose one of us. He wants to have each and every one of us there with Him. You know, sometimes we forget everything. And that came to be so clear. I was praying, and He was showing everything that ever took place through all history. Through all this earth ever saw war, everything, earthquake, everything. It was for the purpose of taking some out to come to Christ, some out to come to God, everything to come to an understanding that God was living. Everything. There's nothing, nothing. And you know, why your neighbor don't believe what you believe? Why on your street you're the only one that has an understanding of God's grace and what God did in our days? And you know what? There's a voice that came out, and we have heard that voice. And how many people listened to that voice and said, They don't have anything to respond to that voice. They listen to that voice, or they go and they check on the net, and they would say, "Oh, he was a false this and false that and this and that." And, okay, and they just they discard it. They just don't take that as seriously. But we have heard something. We have heard a voice, and that voice is so special. God has been so good to us to recognize what He has done in this day. But what are we doing with it? I was wondering how God wrote our name in the Book of Life. And Brother Branham explained how He does. He wrote our name by the spoken word. By the spoken word. He wrote your name. Done. Mary. He wrote her name by the spoken word. He spoke us. He spoke her name. But He knew that that sacrifice, which was before the foundation of the world, was for each one of those names that were written in the Book of Life of the Lamb. God has been so gracious to us. He has been so good. We cannot have any confidence in everything we see or hear. It's scary. In some ways, it's scary. Because where is the truth? Brothers and sisters.
Amen.
That's the only place we're going to have truth.
Amen.
The rest will pass away. The rest will be destroyed. Think of it. It's going to be in French, it's anéanti. It's going to be completely annihilate. I'm thinking in French right now. It's going to be annihilate. Completely destroy. Nothing will stay on this earth. Nothing. I'd like to just read a quote that I just love. You don't mind? I put it on my phone because I didn't have the... It can be useful. It's in the Message, Be Certain of God. It's a beautiful message. And Brother Branham said, what we need today is not a lot of material things. We have that. We don't need greater churches. We don't need greater congregation. We don't need more on radio or on television. We don't need so many more of these things. But what we need today to be spiritual is a person that will humble themselves before God. That's what we need. To come before God and say, Lord, nothing I have to present you but the blood of the Lamb. Nothing I can do but accept what you have done. Nothing I can do. Just to present humble, is a person that will humble himself before God. If they haven't got a penny and will pray till that spirit within them is satisfied with the goodness of God, and a revival take place on the inside of their heart. That changes their attitude and atmosphere that they live in. And don't ever forget, we are creators. We are. How many times that something happened at home, and just because you have the right attitude, it changed the atmosphere.
Amen.
And just because you just say, Lord, I just want to ask you forgiveness. I was wrong. Or, Father, just change. Help me to change this. And it does change. It does change the atmosphere. It does, because what if you're faithful to ask, He's faithful to do it.
Amen.
He will do it. A little further, he said in quote 38, you know, it's a strange thing. May God let this soak into every one of you. If you never hear me preach again, let this be a message. It's strange, most strange, that sometimes that God does things that way. You know, when we have confessed our sins and met every requirement that God requires, we believe on God. There's a circumstance has to be met, and it's according to His will. And we've confessed our sin, and we made all the wrongs that we have did right. Done everything that we know how to do. Every requirement that God has made or asked, we have met that requirement. And yet, He lays silent. He just won't answer us. He You know, it happens, brothers and sisters. Seems like, you know, it takes time. 25 years for Abraham. He probably at one point said, boy, God is so silent. He is so silent. Why so long? Why so long? But God has a way to do things. Think of Upshaw, that man which was a congressman. And he testified before Congress. He was crippled for all the way to 60 years, 66 years old. And God healed him in his 66 years. Why so far, God? And how many oil was poured on his head by different ministers. But God had the time for him. And you know what? He testified the rest of his life. God had made something that make him just more, even more testifying. But he always was a testimony all his life. But you know, it took all these years to bring him to a perfect healing. His wife, brothers and sisters, never, never stop believing. There's a time. And the time of God is sometimes not our times. We'd like things to happen fast. Because we are in the fast food era. We are in a time where everything is just... But God is not that way. God is in no time. No time zone. No time zone for God. And I'm thankful to understand that. I'm thankful to understand that if I ask him something, I believe that he'll give it to me, no matter what. It's why when anything happens, there's a purpose. There's a purpose for that. I got bit by a brown recluse in Florida. We don't exactly know if it was a brown recluse, but I got really, my arms start to have like a flesh disease, flesh eating disease, and I start to... I remember which arm, but this one, I think. And you know, we got to the hospital, and I got there, and they put me on the IV, and they gave me some morphine. And even Cynthia said, he doesn't need morphine. And they gave it to me. And my heart stopped beating. That's a kind of a, it went from 69, 4, 59, 49. Cynthia, as a nurse, she said, he's dying! They kick her out. But if it's what's dying, it's really sweet. I didn't feel anything, but she felt a lot. But anyway, crash cart in, blue code, put the electric pad on me, on back. And then somebody said, and she heard, I didn't hear anything, she told me. But anyway, they put the atropine in my heart started to beat again. They kept me in the hospital. But, you know, all that happened. But there was a young intern that was there that we were able to, Cynthia and I were able to testify. After all that, you know, why that happened? He almost killed me. They almost killed me to be able to testify to a girl. That's sometimes hard to understand. Just, you know, why have I to go through all that? Another time I will never forget, I just got an infection in the leg, and I had eczema, and it went just in the leg. It's healed. God healed me. It's wonderful. But I got so sick, and I had to go to a clinic. And when I got to the clinic, there was a young nurse there, and I just entered, and she was asking me questions. And at one point, I just started to testify to her, and she started to cry. And she closed the door. She said, am I bothering you? She said, no, I need to hear more. And I started to talk with her. And she had lost a little girl. She had a little girl 2 years old. And she was so hurt. And I was able to talk to her in a way where she understood something. And I know when I left her, it was for her that I was there. I was there to help her out. And I had to go to that poison in my leg. To go and be a witness to her, and she said, you wouldn't believe how good I feel right now, and it just gave her courage. And things we don't understand, why do I have to go through that? Why do I have to go through that? God is in control. God is in perfect control. You know, Charles Wesley, great songwriter, and he was into a cabin by the ocean trying to get inspiration. He had a song that he really was working on, and he was trying to really get the inspiration, and it was not coming. You know, somebody that writes song, it was not coming. It was like just, but he just decided he went to walk on the beach, And as he was walking, he saw a storm coming in and strong winds start to hit. And there's a sparrow that just hit him and got into his coat. A sparrow, a bird, a little bird. And that bird, just as the storm passed, he just took the bird out. And he looked, he put it on his finger and he looked at it. And that little bird gave him inspiration for that song, which was Rock of Ages, cliff for me, and let me hide myself in thee. And that was the very thing that gave him that inspiration for that song, for us to enjoy and to appreciate, just to understand that a little bird was used to give him that inspiration. And you think God doesn't use little birds and doesn't love little birds? Brothers and sisters, he loved little birds. I was in Louisiana, and I was just outside the house of my brother-in-law, David Stinky. And I was standing, and there was a blue container, a garbage container for recycle. And there's a bird that just, I was there, and I was just by the container. And a bird came and just flew right on that container in front of me. And I look at the bird and said, "How are you?" I just started to talk with him. "Are you okay?" And he said, there, he looked at me. I said, "Is something wrong with you?" And I picked the little bird. I pick it up in my hand. Uh-huh. And I look at it. And you know what? That little bird had a tick right there. And it was as so big, full of blood. And I thought, are you coming to me for me to take that tick off? And I remember, and he was just looking at me, just, "Please do it." And I just took my finger and I just slowly pulled. I thought I was pulling his head off. That thing was so big. And I pulled it off. And he stayed in my hands. And when he came off, he just stayed there and looked at me. And it was just like, it was, "Thank you." And he took off. Whoa. And I just felt like in my heart, God cared about little birds. How much do he care about you? About me? And you know, those things happen for a purpose. I was talking with a man. And he was saying to me that when he was a young man, he said, "I believe in God." I said, "What do you believe in God?" He said, "There was a bird that was on a fence." And I said, "God, if you exist, allow this bird to come at me." And the bird came in his hand. And he said, "I do believe God exists. But now you need somebody to bring him to God." Because to believe God exists is one thing, but to believe in God and to know God as your anchor, to know that He is there for you every day of your life, that every time that you pass through something, He's there looking for you, looking to help you, looking to help you to go through. There's nothing too big for my God. There's nothing that He cannot do. He is the God of all miracles. And He loves to meet our needs. He knows about them. And when I come to God in prayer, I don't have a list. I have learned that don't bring a list. "Oh God, do this and do that and do this." Don't. God knows that list. Just come and worship Him, adore Him, and enter in, exalt Him, give Him praises, and just enter there. And then if God just anoints you in a way where you cry out for something very particular, there you are anchored, because God inspire you to pray for somebody, but it's an anointing that come upon you, and that is efficient. God knows exactly, and it's where you become so aware of His presence, aware of what He wants you to ask for, and you don't ask, "Oh, this and that," because it becomes just like a grocery list. And He is the God of the heart. He wants our heart to be setting everything aside to give Him that place in our heart. He wants the fullness of our heart. He doesn't want half of our heart. Thank you, Lord. If you want to turn with me, Matthew 13. God is good. I'm not going to keep you long, but I just have some. Matthew 13, verse 14. "By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand." Matthew 13, 14. "By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. Verse 14, 15. For this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for their ears, the ear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. And I'm telling you, we have blessed ear and blessed eyes. Because so many people before us would have loved to see what we're seeing. This is the best time we could ever be in. The battle is great, brothers and sisters. The battle is terrible. It's raging like more than ever. But it is a beautiful time, because it's a time where God is wanting to manifest himself and prove that he is the great captain and he will fight our battles. But he said, and we know through this message that Brother Bram was told, because of the choosing, because of your own choosing. Yes. Now that means there's a choice. That means there's a decision we have to take. As human beings, we have to say, okay, I will do this for you, Lord. You have to determine in your heart. There's a part that you have to do. Yeah. You have to determine in your heart. And even that, God, give me that desire to determine in my heart. Because nothing you'll be able to boast about. But God is wanting to see that desire. To have that desire. He wants to see that. And he will do it. He will bless. He will show himself and make himself real for us. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure? What do you live for? What do you strive for? What is your purpose? Life is short. Life is short. You know, young people, sometimes the problem with young people, they think, oh, I have all my life. I'm young. And you know, I'm 63. No. 2? 63? I was born in 59. I don't know. It goes so fast. But I remember being a young kid. Oh, if I just can get my bicycle. If I can only get a bicycle. Yeah, two-wheel bicycle. Just, oh, I'll be happy. And then, oh, if I can only have a scooter, I'll be happy. Oh, if I can only have my car, I'll be happy. Oh, and it goes and goes. And you always strive for something. Oh, if I can only have my license to drive. You have all that. And you're getting older and older, and you realize all that just passed. And when you die, all that, where does it go? It's good to have it, but we don't live for that. Those things are given to us as we go. But what we do should strive for is for his presence. Nothing less than this is fullness. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. I remember I was hitchhiking and a guy was telling me about how important it is to eat good. And I guess I agree. And how it's important to not put anything that is bad in your mouth. It's good. Yeah, I agree with those things. It's good. But at one point, I was a new Christian, brand new. And I said, it's not so much what you put in your mouth that defile you. It's what come out of your mouth. And that guy was driving and he looked at me, and I was only 19 years old, was a young, brand new Christian. And he said, where does it come from? Where that come from? That was the word. I said, it's not what comes in your mouth that defile you. It's what come out of your mouth. You know, people are just slandering one another, just talk about one another so freely and miss to understand that this is your brother, this is your sister. You don't just destroy or try to talk against somebody. Even people in the world that are not right. We have to be careful what we express, what we say. Our mouth should be to praise God. Should be to bless. Because in the mouth there's power of death or life. We have to be careful. We are responsible for many things. And there's one thing that God put us responsible for. It's what we say. Because He wants to bring us to a place where He will say, "Speak my word." That is character. Speak my word. He didn't allow it yet because there's people that would have speak this world out of existence. You have to be careful. He wants us to come and speak what He would say. Say what He will say. To be the extension of all that He is. To be the extension of His eyes. To be the extension of His hands. To be the extension of His legs. To be the extension of His mind. He wants us to think as He does. That's the Son. He wants us to be what He is. It's what He wants. Not less than that. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is by making clear in your mind, in your heart, decision. Nothing but You, Lord. I will not go less than that, but what You have for me. I just want the fullness of God. Matthew 15:19. For out of the heart proceed evil thought, murder, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemous. Matthew 27:37. Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy mind." But the righteousness, Romans 10:6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, "Who shall ascend into heaven?" That is to bring Christ down from above. Or, "Who shall descend into the deep?" That is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? "The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." I just don't want to be any longer, brothers and sisters. I just want to say this. If your heart doesn't condemn you, if you know who you are in this life, if you are a son or daughter of God, act like one. Make sure you give Him that place that He deserves. Make sure that you don't fool yourself. You can fool me. I can fool you. We can fool one another. That's not hard. But you cannot fool God. He has His eyes upon each one of us. And He wants that place that He deserves. And you know what? He's looking for intimacy. He's looking for intimacy. And intimacy will be only done by a heart that is sincere and that is willing to go all the way. You know, to put your life on the altar and say, "God, take me. Take me, Lord. Take me. Take everything out of me. Take me. I am tired of this life. I'm tired of myself. Take me. I want to get one. I want to be one with You." And He will do it, brothers and sisters. But you have to desire it with all of your heart. He's not going to take half of a Christian. He doesn't have grandchildren. He doesn't. He only has children. Sons and daughter that have understand that the fullness of Christ must abide in them. Nothing less than the fullness of Christ. May God bless you. Let's pray. Father, You know all things, Lord, and we are appreciative of Your blessing. So many times, Lord God, we see things happening around us and we are hurt or we don't understand. But You, Father, You have a reason for all things. In all things, as Your word said, work together for the good of those who love You, O God, but according to a purpose. Father, let us have eyes to see and ears to hear all these purpose You have for us, Father, in order to better bless Your name, better serve You, better serve one another, Lord God. Father, to be a servant in Thy hand, somebody that is used of Your kingdom, Lord. We need You, Lord God, more than anything else. Would you please bless my brothers and sisters that are here now and those who couldn't come, Father. Just be with them. Bless them in a special way, Lord, that these little words that were said that could encourage them, Lord God, in a special way. I just pray that you be with them, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Somebody's song leader, I let you. God bless you.
You need that. Yeah. What a delight. Just love having you here, brother. Refreshing, right?
Amen.
you know, did we ever sing Psalm 105? Didn't we used to sing that all the time? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord and call upon his name. You know it, don't you? Nate knows everything. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Do you have the key? Do you have the book with the keys in it there? It's in the old white books. Glory in his holy name. Let them... All your testimonies kept reminding me of this song. Seek the Lord and seek his strength and seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders. Yeah. It's in the white at the behind the Behold books. Yeah, thank you. Who can sing this with me? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord and call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Yeah, can we go lower? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord and call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing. Oh, it's been a long time. There you go. Know this. Well, this is an old. They say, but this goes back to the living room days. Remember that, Ron? Well, okay. We'll relearn it. Anyway, so nice to have you. Let's have them come up and let's pray over them. And just Cindy and Luke, would you come up? Y'all come up, would you? Let's just lay our hands on them and ask the Lord to bless them and guide them and protect them. We love you guys. So blessed to have you here. Amen. Josh, would you pray for? Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we do just thank you for.
Thank you, Jesus.
Brother Luke and his ministry, Lord, his heart's call for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
His wife as well, Cindy. Lord, grant them wisdom on their travels.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I pray that you would just continue to light that fire.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, and continue just to stir up that calling with them. That they would live for you, honor you with every... Bless them again as they travel here and there. Lord. In Christ's name.
Amen. I love you guys. God bless you. Let's sing Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Don't you love that song? And now, thank you for telling us about that. It's, huh? No. Let's sing the one we know. That is it. Okay, so where is that? Now, we don't have many of those. See, we always... What page is that on? My favorite page. Is it the same tune, I hope? Oh, there we go. Okay. Okay. love. Just clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flow be of sin the double cure. Safe from wrath.
Can we take it just down lower a note?
The labor of my hands can fulfill thy lost demands. Could my zeal no room forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come, helpless look to thee for grace. All to thy fountain fly. Wash me, save, nor or I die. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, on thy judgment throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide my soul. Amen. Would you bow with me, please, Heavenly Father, you precious, precious Lord. How we love you. And you, all the light that you are, all the light that you have, all the light that you've given. Lord, we love what you are. We love what you do. We love hearing what you say. We love your nature. We love your character. We love everything about you, Lord. And as we walk day by day, it just gets more precious. Preciousness gets more sacred and more holy. And how we just want to lift you up and exalt your name as we go home, but we go home with you, each one of us. At that day you will know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And Lord, I know every day you're quickening that reality, that truth to us each. We commune in you in fellowship with you, how precious that is. Nothing can take that place, Lord. So now I know the prophet said, as we leave and each one goes to their cars, the angels take their place beside you. Walk with each one. Get in their car with them. Take them home. Protect them. Guide them. Speak to them, each one, Lord. We commit them into your hands now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Amen.